Young Jason Ryan Lovett just performed his third performance with the Reduced Shakespeare Company in the Complete History of Comedy Bridge here at the Modlin Center in Richmond, Virginia. And Jason, here's to you. You didn't shave your head, but you were remarkably like Reed Martin.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 462, Certain Pet Peeves. Jason Ryan Lovett is the most recent actor to join the Reduced Shakespeare Company here in the States, playing Reed Martin's role of Rambozo in The Complete History of Comedy Abridged. This past week was not only my first time acting with Jason, but my first time actually meeting him, so it was fun to get to know him and discover we share a certain pet peeve.
My first performance was about a year ago, like this time. We went to New Mexico, and we had a couple of performances in New Mexico, and then I did it now tonight. So I haven't done it. I haven't done it in over a year.
Well, it's amazing. You come in. Not having done it in a year. Amazingly off book. I mean, I can think of one line you dropped, but that's it in an entire evening. That was really well done.
Well, I appreciate that very much. I try to, respect the script as though it is a folio level for, for Shakespeare's sake.
Oh, yeah. it is a sacred text, no question.
Absolutely. And Burbage dropped a line or two back in his day, so I figure, I owe it at least to the homage to the old way of treading the boards to drop one or two of them.
Well, and it's one thing to know it in your kitchen, and you know it in your cars, you're driving around LA, but it's another thing to know it on stage on the day.
Oh, absolutely, and it definitely it was one of those things where in my kitchen I thought, this is Oscar worthy performance, but I was kind of the mindset where I'm like, but when I bring it to actually doing it with yourself and with Dominic, I was like, I wonder if I'm gonna know this or if I'm gonna be able to hang as well as I did this time last year.
Right. Wait. Yeah, and you can only hope to be as a fraction of as good you are as you are in the kitchen.
Oh, well, absolutely. The Tupperware is a much a harsher critic than anybody else is.
Well, we had a great, lovely crowd here in Richmond, Virginia. It was, they couldn't have loved it more. So, well done. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. Absolutely. I mean, some of the guttural belly laughs from that audience were amazing. We had a couple of moments where, we had to hold for 2 moments at a time, or 2 minutes at a time. Yeah. Just to wait for the raucous rolling applause and laughter. So that's a wonderful thing to get to have that feeling.
Those are the best things. Now it's funny. You're an actor who's based in LA. You've done a bunch of commercials, a handful of television, maybe a film or two.
I've done a couple of films. Yeah, I've done a couple. I did a couple of films in Chicago with a filmmaker friend of mine. His name is Michael Lansu. And I've done a couple of TV gigs. I was on Nip Tuck and Days of Our Lives, and done some commercial work and stuff. I have a commercial that's coming at the holiday season that I can't really tell you what it is, but look for my face on your TV. It's going to be pretty funny. And,
nice.
And then I also, I do a lot of theater in Los Angeles. I'm a member of the Actors Gang, which is a theater company based out of Culver City. Yeah. Tim Robbins founded it with some friends of his back about 32 plus years ago. Okay. And now it's got kind of a bedrock home in Culver City.
Well, and you and I have shared a pet peeve. We have a pet peeve as being actors looking, American actors looking for work in LA,
absolutely,
in Hollywood, and I've talked about this on the podcast before. More and more, there are more and more Brits coming over here, taking our women. Nah, screw that. They can have our women.
Yeah.
They're taking our roles.
They're taking all of our jobs. I mean, when you think about it, you go back through. I'm a diehard comic book nerd, and you go through the pantheon of superheroes, and all of the big guys, and even some of the not so big guys, are all played by British actors or Australian actors. Hugh Jackman is Wolverine. You've got Henry Cavill, who's playing Superman now. Back when Christopher Reeve played him, when the first time around, we had an American, but now we got a Brit playing him.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, you know, and we've got Christian Bale playing Batman. At least now we took that one back with Ben Affleck. So we got one that we've taken back into the fold, you know. But you've even got, like, Daredevil on Netflix is played by a British actor. Or he might be, you know, an Irish actor. And so, you know, so you've got a lot of that going on.
Well, and I, you know, I'll watch a show. Well, like, we talk about Hugh Laurie coming over here as House.
Okay.
And everybody, and, you know, this is nothing against Hugh Laurie, because he's fantastic. And he was great as House. But everybody raved about his American accent. It was okay.
Yeah,
it was fun.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, there are some actors that you would question whether they are or are not from America. And, like, Jason Clarke is one of my favorite examples of this. Jason Clarke, you've never heard this guy use his actual accent in a famous movie. And now he's, you know, he's the star of the new Planet of the Apes. He's in Everest. He's in the new Terminator. One of my favorite things, he was on the short-lived TV show The Chicago Code, and he had the most amazing, rich Chicago American accent, which is a hard accent to replicate for a foreigner.
Well, and I'm thinking of a show like The Walking Dead, which has, it feels like half of the regular cast are Brits. Andrew Lincoln, the lead, Sarah something or other, I can't remember her name, is a Brit. Lenny James is a Brit.
I mean, at least we had John Barenthal there for a while playing Shane, but, you know, then they killed him, and so, you know, then I lose him. But at least now, at least he's taking one of those superhero roles. He's playing the Punisher in the new Daredevil, the second season of Daredevil. So at least we're holding on to that one there.
You know, and all of this is fine, because there's good actors, and you want to cast the best actor for the thing. You know, we're just two bitter American actors going, well, wait a second. We know American actors based in London, and they get work there playing Americans, but they
don't get work there playing Brits. Look, my only thing is, and this has been a goal of mine since I was a little kid, and it'll stay a goal of mine until they tell me that I'm way too old to play this. I want to be an American actor that gets to play James Bond. I have been, which, you know, it may never happen, but, you know, my hope is out there, and I mean, I know that they're potentially looking for the next James Bond, and look, I'm out here if you're looking for someone. Daniel Craig's great. He's got probably another couple good movies on him, but then you're going to need somebody new.
You
know what I mean? And I'd be in for that.
I would love it if Idris Elba was the next. Idris Elba was the next Bond.
He would be exceptional, and I'd be happy to play it after he plays it, because, you know, I mean, I still probably got a good, you know, 10 years before I reached the level that Craig was when he started playing Bond for the first time.
Can you imagine if they gave it to an American before giving it to a black guy?
Oh, that would be ridiculous. It'd be ridiculous. But afterwards, it'd be totally, because look, now the door's wide open, and it's a total possibility. I've been a Bond nerd ever since, you know, Connery, and I was a little kid, and it's just amazing, and I would love it.
Oh, this is crazy talk. Next, you'll be saying they should cast a woman as Jane Bond.
Well, you know, I mean, let's just be open to any ideas.
Or a female doctor. This is crazy talk.
I don't think it's totally out of the realm of possibility to have a female doctor, you know what I mean? This is 2015. I mean, we need to be open-minded.
We absolutely do. I'm in 100%. I mean, we're joking, but I'm on 100%
agreement. I'm 100% in agreement of that. I think this is all of these are great ideas.
Yeah, all these are fantastic ideas. I mean, because right now, what can you? I can count on one hand, and I'm sure I'm forgetting others. Americans who have played Brits. Meryl Streep is playing a suffragette, and she's played Margaret Thatcher.
Absolutely. You've got Robert Downey Jr. playing Sherlock Holmes, but he's kind of playing Sherlock Holmes as Robert Downey Jr. He's not really like. I mean, he's not Benedict Cumberbatch being all British as Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, and Renee Zellweger playing Bridget Jones.
Yeah, absolutely, and Bridget Jones.
And there must be more, but those are what I can think of.
That's pretty much most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't, and it's funny, you know, I'll watch, I just saw some British period drama. It was Arthur and George, and it was, and there were a couple Americans in there that were clearly not Americans. They were Brits playing Americans, which is fine, you know, you go with what you got. But if you filmed a British thing in L.A. and didn't cast a Brit,
would absolutely never fly.
Hootman, you're thinking with your dipstick, Jimmy, because you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, aren't you?
Where can you RSC the RSC? Our fall of 2015 tour continues this week with performances of The Complete History of Comedy Abridged and then The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged in California, Louisiana, North Carolina, Missouri, Kansas, and Michigan. And then next April and May of 2016, we'll perform the official Reduced Shakespeare Company premiere of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged at the Folger Shakespeare Theater in Washington, D.C. In fact, Reed Martin and I begin rehearsing long-lost Shakes this week. We start actually learning the lines and the blocking ourselves, so we'll see how that goes, and hopefully we'll talk about how it's going in next week's podcast. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. So on the other hand, we've been talking about how Americans never get to play Brits. You, in one of your shows with the Actors Gang, you did a production of Hamlet, peopled by the characters from Harry Potter. Do I understand that?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. So we do a children's show that's Shakespeare for kids. It's like about an hour-long show that we do a condensed version of a Shakespeare play every year, and we do it mashed up with a pop culture, you know, phenomenon of the time. Like, we've done Tempest Star Wars before, we did Superhero 12th Night, cool. And this year we did Harry Potter Hamlet.
Mm.
And so is...
Harry is obviously Hamlet, obviously.
Harry is obviously Hamlet, and you've got Hermione as Ophelia, and you've got...
Poor Hermione. Oh, dear.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. So it's a little... I mean, it's a bending of some of the, you know, of the mythology of Harry Potter to make it fit. It kind of in the way of, like, if you had the characters from Harry Potter actually playing the characters, like they were doing the play Hamlet.
Right.
So, like, Snape is Polonius.
Right.
You know, you've got Draco as Laertes. So Hermione and Draco are actually related in the play,
right.
You know, that sort of thing. Voldemort is Claudius and so then I had the pleasure of getting to play one of my favorite characters from Harry Potter, which is Hagrid, and Hagrid got to be, he was like the grave digger, and he was also one of the guards, and as the play went on, we had the amazing experience, instead of doing a duel, we had a Quidditch match that had like puppets that would come out and fly around the audience.
Nice.
Absolutely, and so everybody had a great time, and it's about like 50% Shakespeare, maybe 60% Shakespeare, and then like the other 40% of it is, you know, like songs and dances and our own kind of inside jokes or jokes about Harry Potter or jokes about the area, that sort of stuff. And then it had a nice happy ending. Instead of everyone dying at the end, everyone gets petrified, and we had a plant in the audience who was a child of one of the actors, and he had a mandrake root that he would give to Ron Weasley, who was Horatio, and he would bring everyone back to life, and then we would all have a dance to a Magic by Weezer, and then we would go and, you know, pass out icy popsicles, otter pops, and that sort of thing to the kids and take pictures and that sort of stuff.
It must have been hugely popular. It sounds like enormous fun.
Oh, absolutely. It's super fun. We do it for free every year through a grant through Culver City and Sony Pictures, and they help sponsor it, and then it's free to the kids and their families, and we get, you know, huge turnouts of crowds, and upwards of 400 or 500 people that come and see the show, mm-hmm. and sit and hang out for the hour and watch the show, and it's great because you'll get kids that are getting to see Shakespeare and they don't even realize they're seeing it. So we had one girl that came to every show on every Saturday, and she had seen the show for the last 5 years in a row, and now she's almost 10, and she's gotten to the point where now she's getting her parents to take her to see theater because she's so into it.
Real theater,
like real theater. And like real Shakespeare, like full-on mm-hmm. adult versions of Shakespeare plays, mm-hmm. because these shows, got her interested in doing them in the first place.
Who was Gertrude?
Gertrude was Helena Bonham Carter's character. I can't remember the name.
Oh my God, I'm spacing on it now too. Bellatrix Lestrange.
Bellatrix Lestrange. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. Bellatrix Lestrange was Gertrude.
Can you imagine the listeners to this going, "It's Bellatrix Lestrange"?
I know.
They're yelling at their computer.
I know. I apologize for that. I'm sorry. My brain is a little scattered right at the moment.
Well, and getting back to our previous topic, did you play Hagrid with Robbie Coltrane's Scottish accent?
I did.
Oh,
I did.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So it's a good.
Oh, you're a wizard, Harry. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, so. And so he sounds like East Indian.
Yeah, he's got kind of like a weird. The accent's a little weird. That was not a good version of that. I apologize.
And maybe that's why. why Americans don't believe
that's
Brits.
Right, that's right. That's the worst accent, and not at all what it sounded like.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your dream roles via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter, and I hope you'll post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can find easy links to all these social networks on our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, 47th Dr. Matthew Croke, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Jonathan Stone. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Bjorn Johnson, an American actor who has played a Brit on some American motor oil commercials and can do a Scottish accent. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 462, 1386th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
That's a perfect way to end it.
Yeah.
That accent was terrible, and I love it.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.